On today's Part of My Take, we have NFL MVP Matt Ryan, starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. Awesome interview. Awesome interview. He also said some great headline grabs towards the end about the NFC South and the Falcons this next upcoming season. We have Guys on Chicks. We have Hot Seat Cool Throne. And guess what? We're going to get mad about a list.
Nothing better
than getting really fucking mad about a list. And before we do all of that, Part of My Take is brought to you by the Cash App. Not only is it the easiest place to send money to your friends, it's the safest, especially now that we're all social distancing. Cash App is the number one social distancing app out there. You don't have to see someone face-to-face. You don't have to be holding money. All you got to do is download the Cash App. You can link it to your bank account. You can send money to people. You can buy stuff. You can do everything with the Cash App. And the Cash App's giving away free money all the time on Twitch. They gave away $10,000 free. Just gave it away during the national championship game. So just always be on the lookout. Make sure you follow Cash App on Twitch. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Everywhere you can, because the Cash App is giving away free money. And free money right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free. $10 to ASPCA. So download the Cash App from the App Store, our favorite app in the world. We're presented by the Cash App. We're in the Cash App studios. If I could kiss the Cash App on the lips, I'd fucking French the Cash App. That's how much I love the Cash App.
So go, I'd 69 it.
Oh, there we go. With consent.
I'm going to send it $69.
Yep. So Cash App, we love you. Download the Cash App from the App Store or Google Play Store today and get involved with the Cash App. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, totally for free. $10 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, and baseball is back. But before we get to baseball being back, our darling Jake is back.
Congrats, Jake. You made it back.
Jake Marsh is back.
PMT Sports Biz on the couch. Right? We're not doing the PMT Sports Biz Minute today, are we?
No, but we have finally our whole family back. Bubba, Hank, Jake Marsh, Billy, and then PFT and I, the two dads, the old heads in the room. It's good to have the whole gang.
We got the family
six-man
back
squad, the A-team, varying in all types of intellect.
Height.
Weight.
Facial
Billy
hair.
Is fat now. No, don't talk. It's Jake's time. Jake, welcome back. It's great to have you back. I have one question for you, Jake.
Yes.
Where the fuck are you finding these terrible, terrible this day in sports facts that you've been putting on the Part of My Take account, which are hilarious, by the way?
So, taking through the typical day, you sign off from your stream at about 10:30, 11. I'll write a blog, take me to midnight. Then I'll go in bed, put on my laptop, and just sometimes take 30 minutes to an hour just YouTubing random games. I'll find like a 3-hour MLB game, and that's where I found that car turning right onto the street.
I like
that takes a while.
That was the two fans enjoy Skyline Chili at a game.
Yeah, and they stood up for the people to allow them.
They
to,
did. That was, what was that's what made it pop.
What was your personal favorite?
The car one did the best in terms of numbers.
What was the car one again? Tell us that one.
It was Mariners Red Sox in Seattle. And before the bottom of the first inning, the broadcast had some B-roll of a street and a car turned right on the street. But another couple of highlights were last week we had some Little League baseball in San Diego, and the local news channel picked it up and credited Part of My Take as Big J's.
Mm-hmm.
And PFT's favorite, the Spelling Bee kid, getting eliminated in 13.
That was great. That was so unfortunate to see that he followed the account, and he was like, oh, no, what? I did not expect to get roasted online today for this.
I like the one with the rain delay, too. Like, after 3 hours.
That was the first
wait,
one.
Yeah, after 3 hour wait, this game was rain delayed.
I don't know if you caught this, Jake, but at the end of that San Diego news story, when they signed off, the female anchor ended by saying, very cool.
Yes,
very cool. I think that was unintentional, but.
It's very cool to have you back,
Jake.
Thank you.
It's very cool to have you back. So, we have Matt Ryan coming up. We're not doing Dungeons and Dragons. Just a reminder today. I know it's every other week. We next Wednesday we have an extra long hour and a half Dungeons and Dragons. We're gonna do some big time Dungeons and Dragons next week.
It's a marathon. Yes. Is this dragon going to get fucked by Billy? Ooh. That's the cliffhanger that everybody's waiting on.
We don't know. So the lead story besides Jake Marsh being back, baseball's back. Baseball is officially going to be back. I think there's pending one last thing, the player's safety.
I'm not comfortable saying that it's officially back until it's officially back. Well, because there's always a stumbling block, and this piece of the negotiating process is one that they've been going back and forth with a little bit. It's the health and safety aspect.
But the players and the owners are finally on the same page. Like, everyone is on the same page. 60 games, camp starting July 1st, DH in both leagues. Kyle Schwarber, Theo Epstein is a fucking genius. He knew that we were going to have a pandemic and then a 60-game season, and that's why he didn't trade Kyle Schwarber in 2016. So it's exciting. I'm excited. Now we just have to get there because it feels like every other sport, like we're limping towards the NBA, we're limping towards hockey.
Again, it's like it's the boy that cried
sport.
It's the boy that cried sport, the boy that cried Passan, the boy that cried Rosenthal at this point. I'm not going to believe it until I see players walk out onto a diamond. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm going to get excited. In fact, New York just entered phase two today.
Fuck yeah.
It's phase two. I love just referring to things in phases.
Barbershops.
I think baseball is now in phase 1.5 of the reopen process. Mm-hmm. We're waiting till we get to phase four. Actually, just break it down for me easier than that. Just put it in quarters. I'm a sports guy.
Yep.
I think right now America is in the second quarter of fighting COVID.
That was like when Lovie Smith used to always be like, the first four games is the first quarter of the season. And
right.
I'm like, oh, shit, I get it. Okay,
yeah, that's
nice.
How you break it down. So, like, just tell me when I can put my fours up later on this summer.
Yes.
That's all I need to know.
I'm excited. It just, I feel like the maybe the new sport in America is just getting the announcement that sports are back. Because then we're never going to get it, but, like, these sports are never actually going to come back. But just the thrill of being like, ooh, NBA's back. Ooh, hockey's back. Ooh, baseball's back.
It's just great.
That kind of gets us a little bit closer to death.
It's
what we're all doing. We're just running out the clock.
Awesome to just think about the fact that maybe in a month there will be sports on. That just makes me feel warm inside.
Or
like,
not. And
like
we'll
heroin.
Just keep fucking going.
The Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Sports are back. Yeah,
man,
I'm going to disavow
Djokovic.
From Joker. I'm going to have to disavow from his
Novak.
He went
COVID-a-vitch.
Too far. Although that party looked lit.
It did look. It did look like they got. I don't know how they had that much energy.
I don't know either.
Like
the
whole
they all
video
had
was
corona,
just them
yeah.
just fucking going ham.
Nuts.
Yeah. So not only
and then
Djokovic have it, but also
Djokic.
Djokic had it.
And there's a picture from them a week ago, like dapping up. So there's a chance. I had this. I got a little too woke
spreader?
When I first saw it. I was like, Rudy Gobert. Everyone blamed him for taking down the NBA. If another NBA outbreak comes, so I saw two Phoenix Suns players tested positive. Like, and it all gets, what if it all leads back to Djokic? I mean, Djokovic.
Whoa, Djokovic. Jokic? Well, then he'd be the GOAT again, right?
What if
like the super spreader GOAT.
Yeah.
If you're going to be an asshole and spread a virus to a bunch of people, might as well be the best. You don't see Federer doing that.
Right.
Federer is probably sitting in his fucking comfy ass chair with his stupid logo being like, ooh, I'm not going to spread it to anyone.
Federer is like in the Alps somewhere. He's in an underground bunker. Yeah,
he's got a puffy white vest. He looks so cool.
And if you're going to spread the disease to somebody, like having the two most famous athletes from your country spread it to each other, that's a little feather in Serbia's cap.
Yeah, I would say I regret saying that Djokovic is my GOAT when it's ultimately it's sport I do not care about. I've only watched a handful of times in my life. I happened to get caught up in last year's Wimbledon, got caught up in the moment. Turns out I sided with an anti-vaxxer dickhead. So, whoops.
It happens sometimes,
whoops.
You know?
My bad. Hand up.
Yeah.
Billy? Disavow. Until he beats Federer again at Wimbledon next year, and then I'm back on the
train. Yeah, because Federer is going to have a weak-ass immune system, right?
Yeah. Wait, Jake,
getting
you're a tennis guy.
Shots.
Who's your GOAT?
GOAT Federer.
Yeah?
Welcome to the club.
Even though Djokovic is going to pass him in majors?
We'll see.
Yeah, but, we'll see. Okay.
But if you want to root for Americans, too, there's John Isner, who's got the great
serve.
No, I
don't know.
Andy Tommy
Roddick.
Paul.
Pete Sampras.
Tommy Paul.
Pete Samperson
Boris
is fucking.
Becker and
Pete,
Jim Courier, the ginger crew.
Pete Samperson is in his chest hair that went on forever. No, Billy.
Actually, you know what? I loved Michael Chang. Michael Chang was the absolute best watching him play.
Just returning it.
He wasn't that great, but he would hunt down every. He's the most frustrating player to play against.
Yes.
It's like playing against a golden retriever.
It's playing against Hank.
Yeah, exactly. Playing defense.
Yes. Speaking of which,
Thursday,
we're going to have Dougs and then straight into Stool Streams.
Stool Stream straight into Dougs.
Stool Stream straight into Dougs, which will be fantastic. Yeah, we need to – someone – Jake, after this, get my credit card. We're going to buy. Can you buy a humane, like, collar for a human?
A shock collar?
Yeah.
Ask yeah, Dave. Sure. Just get a taser.
Oh, actually, no. There's the shock watch.
Shock watch?
That Liam should get.
Well, I don't need another thing on your wrist that you can lose.
Okay.
So we're going to have to figure out something that we can shock you so you can't talk until you're ready to talk.
How about this? How about we just give Jake a squirt gun and he just squirts Billy when he starts
oh,
to talk?
Oh, that would be no. good.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like a cat.
Citronella, yeah.
Like a cat trying to get on the kitchen table.
Just spray air in your face.
All I was going to say is...
That worked.
Yeah. Yeah,
it worked.
It did work.
Yeah.
yeah. All right, so that's...
Cesar Milan.
That's what we got. I mean, I guess we could...
The Chad Whisperer.
We could touch on... There was big news, the Bubba Wallace news. Kind of a crazy story how it, like, all unfolded. I still think that Bubba Wallace probably saw something. I don't even know. Was it Bubba Wallace?
No, so from what I've read, Bubba Wallace didn't report it.
So
somebody in his garage did. So, like,
I just...
It sucks.
The thing that frustrates me more than anything is basically is, like, everything is... We're in such a knee-jerk reaction society now that, like, nothing can be, hey, let's just figure out what the actual truth is first and then jump to conclusions. Everyone picks their side mm-hmm. and everyone fucking runs their fucking face into each other and nothing ever gets solved and everyone just decides I'm still thinking exactly this.
The problem is this is one of those side arguments that we talked about. Like, it's another thing for people to focus on instead of
right.
any of the actual issues.
Right.
And so now people are mad at one side for reporting online that a noose was found. Now people are mad at the other side for being like, oh, you're not being sensitive enough. It's just, it's adjacent to the real problem that we're talking about.
And it sucks for Bubba Wallace now.
Yeah.
Because people are going to accuse him of, like, faking something, which he didn't. It also wasn't exactly what, you know,
someone
else reported.
Has anybody used the headline fake news yet?
Ooh.
Very fake news?
Trending.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually,
okay.
It is trending.
Okay.
Yeah.
On your legal pad?
No, I wrote it down.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I swear to God. It says right there. Fake news. Right under okay. Rihanna.
No one should use that not
No, I swear to God. Yeah, Rihanna's trending. I don't know why. Rihanna's trending.
Billy, are you saying that we...
Oh, you know why?
Just don't use that knot.
Cancel the knot, yeah.
Cancel the whole knot. Like, why would you...
How hot are the pictures?
Like,
check them out.
Okay. Cancel the knot?
There's so many better knots that can make loops. Like,
I think,
cancel that
I think
knot.
Billy... Yeah, so what Billy's
okay,
saying
that's
is...
fair.
Billy's,
yeah, yeah,
Billy's
that's
not
fair.
Getting into the meat of the argument. He's actually going at it very directly and saying it's a
pragmatic.
Subpar knot.
It's a bad
yeah,
visual.
Correct.
Just don't
do
the knot.
Go back to, like, it's a bad knot.
It's a bad
I think
knot.
More people,
better knots.
Yeah, everyone
yeah, yeah.
can agree
right.
there are better knots than that.
Right. Okay, that's fair. Let's do our hot seat, cool throne, and then we got our interview with Matt Ryan coming up, which is an awesome interview. I was actually shocked that he answered some of our questions. So he was a lot of fun to have on. Before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne.
Billy, put that down.
Hot Seat Cool Throne is brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Try it for yourself and see why the great taste of Bud Light Seltzer is putting all others on the hot seat. Remember to use code PMT on Drizzly to get $5 off your first purchase of Bud Light Seltzer delivered right to your door. Hank, Hot Seat Cool Throne.
My hot seat, it pains me to do this, but PFT's narc-ass internet father pointed this out to me.
No.
Tom Brady is on the hot seat.
Oh.
Marlins
okay, so
told
not
you that?
Florio. It's Tom Brady on the hot seat.
Tom Brady's on the hot seat.
Got it.
And this was brought to my attention by Florio. Pro Football Talk wrote an article. Despite the NFLPA advising that players should not work out together, Tom Brady led another Bucs workout this morning.
Oh, wow.
In a state where coronaviruses are spiking. He had 9 players working out together, and people are mad. And
that's
by
fine.
People, I actually don't think anyone's mad.
No.
Except for exclusively Mike Florio.
Well,
he's not mad. He's just pointing it out. He's
yeah,
a rules guy.
He's just reporting the news as it happens.
Right.
Now, I don't know. Were they wearing face masks?
And 2 Bucks players and an assistant coach have tested positive for Corona.
Mm.
Mm. And Tom Brady's, you know, he's getting a little old. I'm worried about
him. Mm.
Mm. So, Tom Brady.
I also am curious to see how he's going to react to Matt Ryan's comments, which you will listen to in like 20 minutes.
Mm.
That's a good mm-hmm. cliffhanger, Hank.
Nice, Hank. All right, what's your cool throne?
My cool throne is Ninja and other big Mixer streamers. I'm sure you guys saw this news. This was like a this league of e-gaming.
Getting that bag, yeah.
So Mixer was like they came on the scene a few years ago and tried to like compete with Twitch. So they threw it's like the XFL coming at the NFL, but if they threw like $40 million at Joe or whatever, an obscene amount of money at Joe Burrow to come play there, and then I guess like some of their internal people, there was some problematic stuff going on. So they basically shut down Mixer. It got acquired by Facebook Gaming. So Ninja, who got paid like $50 million to go to Mixer, basically got out of his contract scot-free and can go back to Twitch and make as much money as he wants.
That's
awesome.
He's
gonna double dip?
Good for
double
him.
Dip. And Facebook, I guess, offered him like $100 million to stick with Facebook gaming, and he was like, no.
Holy shit.
It's basically like if Joe Burrow got paid like $100 million for a 10-year XFL contract, played 1 year, like got some reps in, didn't get hurt, and then could just go back to the NFL.
So how much money do we think that he got, that Ninja got from Mixer?
Ninja made $30 million from Mixer.
Yeah, and but like, after taxes, that's only like $16
million. Hell yes.
So.
Good for him. As a gamer, I love to see it.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. There was a lot of like this league stuff. I realized with gaming, it's very similar. Like you know, you watch to watch quality gameplay, but then when the drama comes out in the off season, it's that much more interesting.
Are you worried at all that we're not going to be able to get you to come back to reality?
I think when sports comes back, I'll be back.
But I've had that thought in my head. Like we've lost Hank.
No, when sports comes back, I'll be back.
You think you can do that?
Yeah.
You're going to stop streaming, mm-hmm. stop playing COD.
No, we're just going to get that in the office.
Right. So we're not going to get you back.
I'm committed to, you know, the Twitch. We have subscribers. I like our Twitch community.
I'm going to continue
putting content out there for Twitch, but when sports come back, I will not be playing Call of Duty 6 hours a day. That's a straight up fact.
I play video games every night, but I'm still here.
There's nothing for me to do. My brain was my brain was devoted to being here and stool streams, but we can't be here, so okay. I've had no choice.
How many streamers do you follow on Twitter right now?
Probably like 15.
Yeah,
maybe.
See, so here's where the timeline starts to work
on
his brain.
I do like watching random Twitches, and I'm not saying I'm going to keep playing video games. I'm just wondering, like,
I've picked up a new hobby during quarantine.
There's a community that's just gamers. Like, yes. They don't come back into real society.
Right, but my job being in real society and tied directly to sports, when sports come back, I will come back to sports.
Which, true, they may never.
Right, so it's like it wasn't a choice for me to start playing video games.
You didn't choose
this
world.
I literally had nothing.
You,
I had
yeah.
nothing else to do.
And it's been impressive what you've done. So
you,
I appreciate it.
You as well.
But you pushed us.
My other cool throne is Woj Bombs about NBA players testing positive for Corona. Mm. That's going to be the news, I feel like, for the next week.
Yes.
And it's probably going to be like they won't even tell the names.
Has he updated it yet? Has anybody else come down with it?
I saw two Phoenix Suns players. I haven't seen anything else. And Jokic.
Not okay. Frank.
I don't know.
Oh, he didn't say because it'd be a HIPAA violation like Shefty had.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, that's okay. My cool throw.
All
right.
PFT, your hot seat.
My hot seat is Josh McCown because there's a bigger anti-porn quarterback right now in the NFL than
who?
Josh McCown. I will give you 32 guesses and you won't get it.
Jameis Winston.
It's Ben Roethlisberger.
Ooh.
Ben Roethlisberger was given a speech this weekend, and he said that when it comes to his personal shortcomings, I've fallen as short as anybody. I've been addicted to alcohol. I've been addicted to pornography, which makes me then not the best husband, not the best father.
Wow.
So Ben Roethlisberger, he definitely was not addicted to porn when he's recovering from his dominant elbow surgery.
Wait. This was genius by him.
Of course, everything that he does is genius.
Right. Be like, I'm not talking about my real past. I'm talking about my porn addiction.
Yes, this is the Andro bottle in the locker for Mark McGuire that Roethlisberger is bringing. I actually didn't think that Roethlisberger...
I have shortcomings, guys. Sometimes I love too much.
I was surprised to learn that Ben Roethlisberger knew how to access porn online. I thought he'd be like a big 58008 in a calculator, turn it upside down, and jack off.
Yes. Yes. So, all right, that's funny that he's the... he's out there against porn.
Yep, Big Ben was addicted to pornography. That's how you know it's actually not a real addiction, if somebody says, I was addicted to something.
Right.
Because if you're addicted to something, you're still addicted. So,
correct.
Breaking news, Ben Roethlisberger, his home screen is Pornhub.com still.
Yes.
My other hot seat is Bears.
Yeah, I saw this.
Ha ha, Clinton Dix was taking a scooter down the street, and he came across... It looked like a black bear and her cub, and immediately ditched the scooter and sprinted the other direction. Incredible change of pace by him. It was a very funny video, though, because it's like that's exactly how I think I would react if I saw a bear, but I know I'd be way too dumb to actually immediately sprint away, and I'd get closer to it and try to take a picture.
Who's that big dog?
Yeah.
A big fucking raccoon.
I'd absolutely try to get a picture for the gram.
Yes. Yes. And then everyone made jokes about the bears.
Ah, Bears safety demonstrates.
He's no longer Bears safety, but yeah.
Yeah. Second time escaping the Bears in as many years.
So you made those jokes too?
No, just right now.
Okay.
I just made them.
You had them in your head and you're like, I don't want to tweet this because everyone else is.
No, no, I didn't. But I could do, let's see, it's Ha Ha Clinton Dix. It's good to see a Clinton Dix avoiding predatory behavior for a change.
Mm.
Billy, you want to explain that one?
He wasn't even listening.
Black bears fight back.
Yep.
Brown bears lay down.
Well, he was not listening. Yep. He was on his phone.
White bears say goodnight. Uh-huh. But the original saying is black fight back, brown lay down.
Thanks for explaining PFT's okay. joke.
Good job explaining my joke, Billy.
Okay. All right. My hot seat is Twitter trending.
Wait, my cool throne.
Oh, your cool throne. So yeah. You thought it was bears.
No, bears are on the hot seat.
What was your first
Clinton Dix got away from Josh McCown.
Two hot seats. PFT's hogging all the hot seats.
Yeah, my cool throne is I'm going to go with statues because America has set its sights on bigger things besides statues. We're looking at Mount now. People are talking
about blowing.
Yeah,
bleep
we'll bleep out Mount. We're trying to blow it up. There's some people saying we should blow it up, which would be pretty fucking metal if
sounds
we
like
did.
Sounds like a Nick Cage movie.
Kind of, yeah.
I read a tweet. I guarantee I have no idea if this is true or not, but I read a tweet that the original sculpture of Mount was supposed to do their whole body and just kind of was like, fuck that.
They ran out of rock.
Can you imagine them naked? That's funny.
They should.
Behind the rock.
Yeah, what if their asses are hanging out back
there? There is like a big vault behind it.
Yes. Yes, it's National Treasure.
Sick. Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Nick Cage movie.
That's
so
they
let's
should
do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who would go on my Mount of new Mount.
Bleep it.
It should be a running back if it's.
Bleep that.
Barry Sanders.
Bleep that. All right, my hot seat is just keep bleeping it. Just be liberal with the bleep. My hot seat is Twitter trending. I'm done with Twitter trending. I'm so fucking sick of Twitter trending. Rihanna's trending right now, Hank. Fake news is trending right now.
Rihanna's trending for good reasons.
It's okay to be racist is trending. Drew Carey was trending. That's a K-pop thing. They got that as well. Bill Simmons, Jimmy Kimmel, like, and I can never figure out for what reason. You just see someone trending and you're like, okay, are they dead? Are they canceled? Is it one of those random ones where everyone's just pretending that they're dead or canceled? And then the Denzel gif, I'm so sick of it.
What about when Coach Doug's trends? Imagine how confused most of the internet feels at that point.
Yeah, but at least that's straightforward. I'm probably whooping someone's ass.
So Drew Carey was trending because there was a picture of a guy that looked like Drew Carey.
Yep.
Rihanna is trending because...
Hot picks.
I think it's because there are still no nudes of Rihanna out there. Rihanna should just always be trending because everybody should just furiously be searching her. Like, where are these nudes? I need to see Rihanna's nudes.
She's... I think she got an album that's close to coming out, too. So people are on the ready for that, which I'm excited for. But yeah, it's a mess. I don't even...
You know what I like, though? I like...
Hasheem Thabeet is trending. Why is he trending?
I like when people...
Why is he... Did he die?
I like when people add canceled party at the end of it. That way, at least I know why they're trending.
Yes.
I thought he was going to be such a
star. Why is he trending?
What about the Doja Cat? Is she canceled still? I need to know.
Mia Khalifa was trending because people were pretending she was dead.
She gets into these little weird,
is she dead? Is she sick? Every couple of years.
I hate the fucking Twitter. Fuck you, Twitter. All right. My cool throne is the Mets because I might be part of the ownership group that's going to buy it. I don't know. My boss, A-Rod, and Mike Rapoli, who created Body Armor and Pirates Booty, doesn't get enough credit for that, have been rumored to be buying the Mets. And I think this would be the only way that I'd be able to successfully fulfill my life's goal of just being a clubhouse guy.
Yeah, working.
Just being a guy around.
If you're the right-hand man of the owner.
Right.
Assistant to the owner of the
just
Mets.
Just hanging out. Hey, guys, you can tell me anything. I won't go tell A-Rod.
I don't want to crush your dreams or anything here, Big Cat, but how does that work with then gambling? If you're an owner of the Mets.
Oh, I think you can. I officially will say I will not. I have no problem not being elected into Cooperstown.
Okay.
Okay. If you disavow it, right?
I'm fine with that.
I like how.
Took care of that.
What might be happening here is like there's a big kind of human centipede of getting other people attached to your bid for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who's really trying to get the Mets, he will have A-Rod as his clubhouse guy.
Right.
And then A-Rod will have you
as your
clubhouse guy.
I don't care how I get in there. All I want to do is I've always thought that I would be a great guy to just be hanging out. Just hanging out. You need seeds? You need dip? You need some bubble gum?
No, I can't dip anymore.
No, we can dip. Please. In our clubhouse, we can dip. You whatever you need. I got you. Want a joke?
What if it's
want a towel? Want me to take my pants off?
No, but
what if my ass?
In today's day and age, you're going to have to be the one. The clubhouse guys are going to have to be the ones enforcing the social distancing.
That's fine. I can do that too. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up. Back up. I got that. Easy. Right. Hmm. Bill, you got a hot seat cool throw?
I was going to put Serbia on the hot seat 98 years later, but mm-hmm. Never mind.
Okay. Okay. Good job, Billy.
All right, Matt Ryan coming up. Before we get to that, I've been spending time looking through the Trends community lately. If you know what Trend is, you should absolutely check it out. Trend has this team of analysts that scour all of these sources for data on up-and-coming market opportunities. They tell you what kind of businesses are taking off or set to take off, and then they spell out how to get in on it and make money with that information. The best part, though, is this community that they've built, entrepreneurs and driven people from every walk of life answering each other's questions and helping each other out and collaborating on projects. There are people making multi-million dollar deals in the comment section of posts. It's really cool to be part of this. Like I said, you should definitely check it out. It's only a buck to try Trends for 2 weeks. They're so confident that you'll immediately see the value in being a part of their community that they'll give you 14 days for $1. To try Trends for just $1, head to trends.co/PMT. That is trends.co/PMT. $1, 2 weeks. See what all the hype is about when you go check out our friends at Trends. You can get some nice information on the market. So go right now. Trends for just $1. Head to trends.co/PMT. That's trends.co/PMT. $1, 2 weeks. See what all the hype is about. Okay, here he is, Matt Ryan. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is NFL MVP starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, who is joining us. He has a GoFundMe going on right now, advancing the lives of the Atlanta black community. It's got $1.2 million right now. That's incredible. Everyone can go online right now, donate to the GoFundMe. Matt Ryan has set it up. It's great. Do it. It's going to go to a great cause. Matt, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about that. I wanted, though, to start the interview being a gracious host and ask you, do you want to do 28-3 now or later?
Let's just rip the Band-Aid and go, man.
All right, okay. Let's do it. All right.
We'll get out to a big start, and then you can come back.
First question, how much did that suck?
I mean, as much as anything can suck, right? Like, that's about as bad as it gets. Still stings a little bit, but, you know, hopefully I get back there at some point and can change the narrative.
I remember Ed Werder after the game asked you how crushing was this loss right after the game. And that was maybe the most savage question in the moment. So credit to you for dealing with that in the moment and not, like, I would have freaked out and grabbed my Xbox controller and thrown it at everyone in the press and been like, I'm out of here. So good job on that.
Yeah, I gave my helmet a pretty good launch when I got into the locker room, saw the kind of speakers and stuff fly out. So I basically did the same thing you would do with the Xbox controller with my helmet.
Now, I heard a nasty rumor that you got a contact high from Chris Long when he hit you in the fourth quarter, and that's what kind of sent you downhill. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I don't think that's true, but, you know, it was that fourth quarter. It was kind of a weird deal, right? Because the end, I mean, we made some great plays to get back into field goal range late in the game. Then we kind of, you know, got bumped back out, but there was no contact high from Chris. I actually just talked to him earlier today. All good. He's still talking shit about that year. And then the following year when he beat us with the Eagles, which both those were tough losses.
Yeah, right. That was the 2017 Falcons, who I was saying they hadn't played their best game yet. Up and you guys lost, and I still was like, don't worry, they're going to be in the playoffs next week, and they still haven't played their best game because I was a big believer in that team. Have you had a chance, I assume, to talk to Kyle Shanahan? I know that you guys have publicly, like, there's back and forth, you know, not blame, but Kyle Shanahan gets some of the blame for it. But have you guys buried the hatchet in that respect?
Yeah, we're cool. I mean, we talked a lot about it, you know, the week and a half after that game. And then, you know, obviously I was happy for him with the San Francisco hire and, you know, kept in touch with him. And then obviously reached back out to him after, you know, another tough one for them after the Super Bowl this year. So I've been, you know, I've kept in touch with him, and he's a great coach, man. He's a good dude, really good football coach. And, he's going to get one. I hope not during, you know, the rest of my career, but, you know, at some point after that, he's going to get one.
Do you call into question his judgment knowing that he has Chris Sims' initials tattooed on his calf?
We used to bust his balls all the time about that. Matt Sims, so Chris's brother, Matt, was the third string quarterback with us for, I guess, two seasons while Kyle was there. And Matt, he was relentless, man. He would break his balls all the time about that. And it is, you know, he tells a story about why they did it, and it still doesn't make sense. I mean, it was a bad decision.
The Wood, they called themselves the Wood, right? It was like four bros at University of Texas. They're like, hey, let's all get each other's names put on our legs.
Yeah, just a bad decision at that time. And you couldn't have thought it was going to play out well.
Right. Speaking of Matt Sims, what is it about the name Matt that makes really good quarterbacks?
Ooh, good question.
Thanks.
I don't know. That's another weird part of that year. So in that quarterback room, our quarterback coach was Matt LaFleur, mm-hmm. current head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Our backup quarterback was Matt Schaub, mm-hmm. and our third string quarterback was Matt Sims. So all four of us in that room at the time were Matt.
Too many
and
Matts.
The running joke was that, you know, if anybody came in and asked for Matt, they knew who we were talking to. It was me. So everybody else just kept their mouth shut. And
yeah.
Kind of went about their business.
I'd like to talk to Matt Schaub. Have you ever asked Matt Schaub the streak, the pick six streak that he had going? That's an all time. I mean, yeah. What happened there? Did you have you ever been like, hey, dude, what was going on that?
Yeah, he doesn't really want to go there when I bring it up. He doesn't really want to go there all that often about it, but I think we're both like top 15 all time of pick sixes thrown. So that's pretty good for one quarterback room.
Yeah. Did he ever suggest, hey, maybe we should work on our tackling?
Never came up. Either of us never really brought it up.
So I actually do have a love-hate relationship with the Falcons because I do think you guys are always ready to peak. And this year you have, I think it's 10 out of 11 starters on offense or first round picks. I assume you guys have done Zoom calls. You're looking around like, man, we got a lot of talent.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I would like when they said that, I never really thought about it. You never really think about like, oh yeah, all these guys are first round draft picks or whatever. But then I saw that and looking around, you're like, holy shit, we got a lot of guys that were drafted early. A lot of guys that are from other spots that for whatever reason have ended up in our space, which I think I'm always kind of bullish on that. You know, I feel like they were talented guys and, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out in the first spot that they ended up. But, you know, now that we've got them, there's talent there and we can develop them. You take a guy like Hayden Hurst for us, you know, I think he ends up in Baltimore where, you know, for no other reason than they just ran the football down people's throat. He didn't really get that many opportunities. And I think, you know, him, a guy that's coming in for us, I think has, you know, every opportunity to take off. I think we'll use him differently than they used him in Baltimore, but we definitely got some talent and, you know, I'm excited about what we got going this season.
Has that been weird trying to get to know guys that you might not have had a previous relationship with and you're not able to meet face to face with them?
Yeah, for sure. So like one of the first times I worked out, I was flying out to California to meet up with Hayden. And I had met him a couple of times, like did two or three workouts, but we got to the airport and he was in this hat and had the mask on. And I was like, not really sure if that's him or if that's actually, I knew we were on the same flight, but he was kind of sitting in there and I wasn't really positive it was him. So it's kind of, it's just a weird time right now, you know, with all this COVID stuff and having a meeting like this. But, you know, we're trying our best, making sure we're doing the best with what we got.
Do you think you're underrated when it comes to QBs? Because we love as fans and media to do the tier rankings. That's basically our entire offseason is what tier are guys in. And it does feel like sometimes you don't get the respect that your numbers have shown throughout your career when we do the tier system. So do you feel that way or do you not even care?
I mean, it doesn't bother me that much. I do understand, like, since I've been in the league, it's a, you know, what have you done in the playoffs? And then when you win a playoff game, all right, what have you done until you win a Super Bowl? And so that's kind of, you know, that's where the status comes from. And, you know, I understand that that's the nature of how people see it right now, but I don't worry about it too much. You know, I feel like I go about my business and, you know, produce week in and week out, year in and year out, and give our team an opportunity to win pretty much every week.
Because I pulled up the stats, and since 2008, when you came in the league, you've only finished outside of QBR, which obviously isn't the end all be all, but only once, and that was 11. That's your lowest QBR. You were, you know, you've been three a bunch of times, one, five, six, like always up there. And when we break down quarterbacks, it's kind of the usual suspect names, and then Matt Ryan. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I guess maybe it is just a Super Bowl. Maybe we're that dumb that if you win a Super Bowl, then immediately you are
definitely
like an incredible player that you get all the credit for these seasons you had in the past.
So I think one of the reasons though is I don't like one of my quarterback coaches. He was like good quarterback play is you know making the boring sexy. Right? It's doing like the little things over and over correct, making the right decisions, putting the ball, where it's supposed to be. And I don't think I do anything kind of like crazy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't run the ball all that well. I don't have the strongest arm. I don't, you know, throw it the hardest.
We lost you there. I'll tell you what, before we get back to this interview with Matt Ryan, while he's dealing with his technical issues, I want to talk to you guys about horse racing. That's right, Major Horse Racing is back, and with some of our favorite sports on hold, you might be looking for something to bet on. Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, Santa Anita, and more. You can bet on it legally right from your phone. Learn how to cash big on the ponies. Build your bankroll. Impress your friends. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. That's one word, americasbestracing.net/strong. Learn more. And I guess Matt Ryan's coming back. Matty Ice, here we go. Matt Ryan.
That's maybe part of the reason.
Yeah.
What was that like taking over from a guy who was the exact opposite, Mike Vick? Because he was like an Atlanta legend. The franchise loved him. All the fans loved him. You come in, you play like a completely different game from Michael Vick. Was there any additional pressure on you being like, hey, I need to carry this torch along? Or did that thought even enter your head as you were going to that first season?
Yeah, no. I mean, early on, it was like, it was tough because he was such a legend, in our city, and was just so dynamic and so exciting, the way that he played, right? I mean, he could just make plays that nobody else could make. And that's not really at all how I play, right? I can't do some of those things that he could do, but I always felt like, if you just win games, right, and you do things the right way, that, you know, people would warm up to you or whatever. And I think that's been the case. I mean, we've been pretty consistent here for the last 12 years that I've been a part of it. Had a number of chances in the playoffs, haven't, you know, finished it off the way we want to, but it's taken a little bit of time, but I think people have warmed up to it.
Yeah. One of the big offseason additions, our good friend Todd Gurley, he's coming over from Los Angeles. My only question about Todd Gurley is, have you talked to him about getting a cat yet? Because he's been promising that he was going to get a cat for 2.5 years now.
It didn't come up for me. I'll just shoot him a text after this, see where it stands.
You should. He promised a cat to America and he did not deliver. He got a fake cat that he used to advertise on Hulu, but he still hasn't fulfilled that promise. I'd appreciate a follow up on that. That'd be great.
I'll send that follow up text tonight.
I want to do a quick throwback, wondering what was going through your head during this decision making, and it wasn't your decision, but 2015, you're out playing the San Francisco 49ers. You guys are down four, fourth and goal on the one, under 3 minutes to go. You kick a field goal. What were you thinking?
I don't know.
Do you remember that play? Because I do.
We were out there, 2015, out. We had just opened the new stadium. Yeah, I do. We kicked it, and then we didn't get the ball back, I don't think.
Correct. You lost by one.
Yeah. Probably not the right choice.
No. I actually we saw Dan Quinn at the Combine a couple of years ago, and I asked him about that because I kind of have just – I don't know, it's something I'm just hung up on. I think I had money on the game, and I just was really mad.
You definitely
at the time.
Had money on the game,
and he was like, "Yeah, that was a mistake."
It's
by
so
me.
Out of character for Dan, though. Too, I think he's it's probably one of the learning experiences for him as a head coach too, because he honestly is one of the most aggressive, aggressive guys in the league when it comes to going for it on fourth down and being aggressive and, you know, having the balls to make those decisions and being able to live with it, which is one of the things you love about him. But it was his first year as a head coach. So, I mean, he's come along. He's gotten better.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. So speaking of Dan Quinn, it was interesting this year because you guys obviously didn't have the season you wanted to have. I appreciated you not having the season you wanted to have because I bet my pinky, I would cut off the tip of my pinky if the Falcons won the Super Bowl. So thank you for that. But it was interesting because we all kind of assumed Dan Quinn was dead man walking, like he was going to be fired. What was the locker room like the second half of the season when you guys put together some big wins and sort of saved his job?
Yeah, I think there was definitely like a sense of playing for him the second half of the season and being like, you know what, this guy's too good of a guy, too good of a coach. We just don't want it to go out like this, you know? And so whatever was going to happen, let's finish it off the right way. And then we finish up 6-2, beat some really good teams, two of them on the road, San Francisco and New Orleans, down the second half of the season. So it was fun to be a part of. I mean, obviously it sucked the way that we started, but it was fun to be a part of that, you know, that ride the second half of the season. And to see him kind of get emotional at the end of the year, realizing guys were playing for him and wanted him to be there so badly.
Yeah, 6-2 to finish it out. I'm officially making the Falcons my team that no one's talking about that you should be on the lookout for next year. You always have to have one of those. Would you rather be the team that no one's talking about or a team that goes into the new year with like huge expectations, Super Bowl expectations?
I guess it's kind of nice to fly under the radar to a certain extent, right? Like you kind of can go into it early in the year and there's not much, you know, buzz around you. But to be honest with you, I'd rather be the team going into it with huge expectations because that means you're firing on all cylinders the year before and you know, you had a chance late in the season the year before. And that's ultimately, you know, you want to be there every year.
So we were talking before we started the show about how I had a big win today, got another game tonight. But I oftentimes in the red zone try to force the ball to my best players to get their stats up. There has been a lot of talk, obviously, Julio Jones not getting all the red zone targets or not converting all the red zone targets that you guys get for him. Do you ever feel pressure like we got to get Julio the ball in the red zone? I want to get him his touchdowns because he's such a good player and he puts up such great stats, like almost a reward to try to get him the ball and get him those touchdowns.
What year? I mean, I think it was maybe 2018.
It's 2017.
He had like a crazy stretch where he had, it was 17 into 18 where he had like X amount of games where he didn't score a touchdown. Right. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of it, like in our quarterback meetings during the week, Steve Sarkisian was our offense coordinator at the time being like, dude, we got to find a way to get this guy in the end zone. Right. And it was just weird how like different things ended up happening that he would either get tackled inside the five. He gets double teamed like crazy all the time too, which is, you know, part of the problem. But when he finally broke through, he took one to the house on a little screenplay against Washington up there. It was like from that point on, the floodgates kind of opened up and he scored quite a bit since then. But you definitely feel that pressure, you know, because he's a good dude. He doesn't bitch. He doesn't complain.
Right.
He's like the best teammate you could ask for. And you want to toss him a bone. You want him to, you know, to get in the end zone. And it was a weird time when he wasn't scoring.
OK, so playing video games is exactly like playing in the NFL.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
That's what I got out of that.
Feed your guys, pump the stats.
Yes. Would you like to issue a formal apology to Julio Jones fantasy football owners from the year 2017?
I'm sorry, boys. I wish I could have done better for you.
Okay, I think that'll go a long way to making amends.
I'll accept that. I wanted to know, you were part of the craziest college football season probably that we'll ever see in our lifetime, the 2007 college football season, the curse of number two. I think seven times the number two team lost. Two loss. LSU won the natty. when that season's going on and BC gets to number two in the country, what was going through your head? Were you like, I can't believe we're here, or we can control our destiny? Because you lost to unranked Florida State, but that's just how the season went.
Yeah, it was crazy. We had a really good team, though. I mean, we had a bunch of NFL guys on that team. And so I knew going into that year we were going to be pretty tough. Really good defensive players, really good offensive line, and just felt good about our chances. But definitely we caught fire like midway through the year. We were scoring points like crazy. And when we got to number two, I think we went down to Virginia Tech as number two and almost lost down there, and then came back and won this game like right at the end. And then we lost to Florida State maybe the following week. But there was definitely a feeling, you know, within our locker room, being at Boston College, you're not going out at the beginning of the year being like, we're going to, you know, play for a national championship. But we were pretty late into the year into October, getting close to November, saying, holy shit, we got a chance.
Yeah.
And it was fun to be a part of it. Sucked losing to two unranked teams and then losing in the ACC championship, but it was a fun ride.
And the there were three number two teams lost after you guys too. Kansas, West Virginia, and Oregon all lost after you guys had lost your number two. I mean, it's a crazy year. There was a point in time where there was, I think it was week 12, that late in the season, the only two undefeated teams were Kansas and Hawaii. That's so insane to like even just look back.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a fun year, crazy year.
And Kansas went on a stretch and didn't win a game for like 10 years.
Yes, right? Right. The curse of Mangino.
That's right. After they got rid of, I think they beat Texas like 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
Are we still going with the Matty Ice story that your high school baseball coach gave you that name because you had one good game? Or are we able to admit that it was a nickname because you like to drink a shitload of Natty Ice?
It's definitely from Natty Ice. It had nothing to do with like playing one good baseball game or anything like that. It really started from in high school, you know, just a you know, bunch of idiots being like, you got a bunch of Natty Ice beers and being like, Matty Ice sounds like Natty Ice, and let's go with that. And it lasted, though. I mean, it's lasted. I'm 35 now. It's been around since I was like 15. So pretty good run it's had.
We're still doing Matty. It's not progressed to like Matro Light or anything like that.
Yeah. Natty Light's so much better. Natty Ice is really bad. That's the issue too, it's been so long since I've had it. But Natty Light was pretty decent. We had a lot of that in college.
Did you feel any, because you're a Philadelphia guy, did you feel any happiness that the Eagles then beat the Patriots after you lost in the Super Bowl?
Zero. Zero.
Zero? Your family, though, I'm sure, was very happy.
Yeah, you know, like my extended family, for sure. Some of the ones that still wear like Eagles jerseys to the games when we go and play, you know, they might have been fired up. But
is that how it works?
It's a brutal place to go play. It's almost like worse being from there and then going up to play there. You know, people get on your ass pretty good about it.
Is that how it works? Do you have like a running tally in your head? Like, okay, I know that like this cousin is still rooting for the Eagles over the Falcons, and this cousin, like, I would assume your immediate family's all ride or die Falcons, but do you have a mental list of the people who have stayed with the Eagles and not been like, hey, I kind of like the Falcons because my fucking cousin plays for them?
You definitely keep score. Like, there's no getting around it. In the back of your head, you're at like a barbecue or something.
Yes.
And they're, you know, they're telling you a joke and you're like, yeah, that was messed up. You wore, you know, Chris Long jersey to,
yes, yeah, I love it,
to the game.
I love it. Someday that cousin will be like, hey, Matt, can I, you know, I need a, you know, a little help repairing the roof of my house. And you're just like, what jersey were you wearing when the Falcons
made a
mistake
with the Eagles in 2015 or 2018 when we were playing them in the playoffs?
I love it.
So who would be on your revenge list in terms of teams? If you could schedule out the perfect postseason for the Falcons, who would you want to beat from the NFC to get to the Super Bowl? And then who would you want to beat in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so week one bye for sure.
Yep,
we'll take the week one bye. We'll beat New Orleans first round or divisional round, take out Philly in the championship game, and then roll right in and play the Patriots and take out the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Okay. No 49ers for Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn kicking that field goal down four under 3 minutes in 2015?
I have less beef with the, less beef with them.
Okay.
We did lose to the Niners in the NFC Championship in 2012. So there's a little bit there. There's still, a little bit there, but I definitely, New Orleans and Philly be the two for me.
Oh, actually, let me get my Packers hate question in. How sick was that NFC Championship game when you guys fucking torched them?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was a fun day for us for sure. Good way to close out. That was the last game in the Georgia Dome, so good way to close that stadium out.
Do you get? Be honest with us. Do you get your family Chick-fil-A on Sundays at the stadium? Are you able to get a special? Is there a special door?
There's no special door, man.
All right, you wouldn't tell us the truth on that anyway because you don't want to ruin it. I wouldn't
be sworn to secrecy, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't ruin that if I had that special door that you definitely have.
Well, you're a Popeyes guy too, right?
I mean, I mess with a little Popeyes from time to time as well.
Okay.
Yeah. What
do you think? What's your comparison? Have you had both chicken sandwiches?
I think the Popeyes is better. Yeah, I think the Popeyes is better.
Popeyes is better?
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. It's a little crunchier.
Popeyes is better, but Popeyes also will set you back a little. Like, you that's a meal. Chick-fil-A, you can eat a chicken sandwich and, keep going.
Yeah, for sure. Popeyes is the ultimate hangover cure. Like, you go have that, then a nap afterwards, and then maybe you're back to neutral a little bit later on.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you though. I think if it's just the chicken sandwich, I think I like the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
I don't think anyone's ever casually ordered two Popeyes chicken sandwiches. I'll eat two Chick-fil-A sandwiches all the time. That's a full meal right there. If you get two Popeyes, you got to schedule the rest of your day out. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to eat these in bed because I'm going to fall asleep until 10 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah. You got to get a good intermittent fast afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. I had a question about the Sunday Night Football intros that you guys do where you say Matt Ryan, Boston College. Have you ever thought about switching it up and going back to your high school and saying that instead?
No, I went to Penn Charter in Philadelphia, so for whatever reason it's just never come up. I feel like there was a stretch where I didn't do it for a little while, so it was 5 or 6 years old of the same one that they had been using. So maybe it's time for an update.
I want to go back real quick to this GoFundMe, Advancing the Lives of the Atlanta Black Community. It's got $1.2 million. My only issue that I have with you here, you set it up. You donated $500,000 of your own money. Why the hell didn't you pin that $500,000 in the comments so everyone sees that you donated $500,000?
I guess I probably should have done it, but to me it was it's not about what I'm doing. I'm here to help for sure from that standpoint. But I also understand it's not the easiest time for people to be donating money. Right?
Yeah, true.
There's a lot going on in the world. People, have been struggling with jobs and on unemployment and all kinds of different stuff with COVID. So, I respect and appreciate that it's a tough time financially. But there's some there's just some things that are going on that are unacceptable, particularly in our community. And I'm appreciative of how many different people have donated, whether it be $10, $20. Some people have donated thousands of dollars. So I appreciate all of that and everybody's willingness to be a part of it. And hopefully we can get to that $2 million mark. I've had some really good conversations with some people, here in Atlanta about what we can do, with some of that funding to try and improve some conditions, whether it be for youth education, whether it be for dealing with police officers and police brutality, or whether it be with, educating people on voter suppression. So I think there's some unique stuff we can do, and I'm appreciative of you guys, having me on to talk about it, but also, everybody who has donated to the cause so far.
That's awesome. Everyone should if they can go, you can find it on GoFundMe. I'm reading the comments right now. I just fucking love sports fans. Some guy, I'm not going to say his name, he donated $5, said Saints fan here. Let's keep this momentum going and rebuild America. I just love that. I love when they qualify hey,
uh-huh,
I hate your guts, Matt Ryan, but yeah, I'm going to donate.
You suck, but this is kind of cool what you're doing.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Did they charge you the 10% or 5% GoFundMe tax when you donated your $500,000?
GoFundMe, man. They that's they've got a good business model going right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing good for people and they're doing well for themselves also.
Yeah. It's a great cause though. Everyone should go and please donate if you can. I had one last question. Falcons, New Jersey. Did you get any like preview? Did you get any input in it? Or was it just like, here are your jerseys?
I got previews. There was definitely discussions. You know, I kind of am partial towards the throwbacks.
I love the throwbacks. Like, oh, they're so good.
I thought our throwbacks are amazing. I'm glad they have, you know, stayed the same. I was maybe pushing for that to be the all the time. But, you know, I was a part of the conversation, but certainly wasn't my decision, but they look pretty good. You know, I like the all black, I like the all white, and I like the throwbacks.
Yeah, the throwbacks are some of the nicest jerseys, and I like, they're one of my favorite jerseys, the Falcons throwbacks.
Who's the first person you think of when you see that all black Falcons jersey?
The all black, the current one, or like the old school?
The old school one, the throwback.
Deion, for yeah. sure. Mm-hmm. Like, any of the black, I think of Deion Sanders when I see, especially that bird too. That bird on the side, like yep. that makes me think of Deion.
Jamal Anderson.
You know what you
dirty
should
bird.
Do? You should start rocking the Deion Sanders do-rag underneath the helmet when you guys are wearing the throwback. That would look sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not sure I got enough swag to pull it off. But, maybe for training camp or something, I'll test it out.
Oh, I actually did have one last question. Have you ever? I know he's obviously your owner, so you got to be, you know, he signed your paychecks, but have you ever just like been like, hey, man, did you really have to come down to the sideline?
No, man. I'm cool with him. Me and Harper are cool. Whatever he wants to
Good
do
answer.
Is cool by me.
Good uh-huh. answer. I feel like if he doesn't go to the sideline, the game goes differently. I'm a believer in superstition.
He just floats behind, yeah, on the sideline.
And what? That look, that yep. picture is like, oh, no.
There have been a few times where I've been like, oh, shit, he's down.
Yeah,
that didn't go the way I wanted it to. Yeah.
I think everybody in America has the same fear that whenever their boss kind of gets behind them, they've even the back of their head, if you have the most secure job in America, you're like, oh, shit, yeah. am I going to get fired? If you see him down there, you're like, I better straighten up my posture because he could just axe me next play.
No doubt. I'm like, get it together, boys. Let's go. We got to get it done.
Arthur Blank. Good mustache or great mustache?
Great mustache. Very, very well maintained. Like, very well maintained. Is better up close, too. Like, the closer you see it, the more you can tell he is, you know, he takes great care of that thing.
Okay. All right. Good answer. You're smart. You're a smart man.
Matt, this has been awesome, man. We really appreciate it. You are now a recurring guest, so you actually have to come on whenever we ask.
I'm in, man.
Oh, wait.
Okay. You're all right. Fine. You're in.
Yeah, you're in. Let's get some extra ratings out of this interview real quick. Can you just guarantee us how many wins you're going to have next year?
Mm. Oh, you need an over under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. You know, I can't do that. I'll get roasted for it, but I'm going to say we're going to win 12 games.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
How about this? Also, let's go a one step further. Would you say you're the best quarterback in the NFC South?
I think currently, yeah, I'll go with myself.
Yes, there you go. Now that Jameis is gone, I love it.
Well, he's still there.
Oh yeah, good
he's
point.
He's still in the NFC South.
That is a fair point.
When you were playing against the Bucks last year, were you standing extra close on the sideline when Jameis was out there? Because you were like, I know, no matter what happens, something cool is about to go down.
Listen, it was a crazy year because we see all of their games too, like. You know, you're preparing for the opponents you're going against. You're watching Tampa's tape of them going against them. So we played him in the last game of the year. And I guess he had a couple interceptions early in the game. We all knew that if he had like three or four, whatever it was, he was going to throw 30 picks. And so we go into overtime. And I go out for the coin toss. And we lose the coin toss. And I'm going to sit on the bench. And I didn't even see it. But before I knew it, the game was over for the pick six back the other way. I was like, it's the only way that season could have ended for him. And I hope he does great, like, moving forward. But that season was destined to end with a pick six or something like that.
It really crazy. Was.
The
it
ups
was
and the downs. It was amazing. Yeah, it's actually a good thing you guys lost that coin toss then.
Yeah, I suppose so. I was pissed off. Like, we lost the coin toss. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is always how it goes. It went that way in the Super Bowl. You're like, I'm tired of this overtime rule. We should, you know, each get a chance or whatever. But. Maybe we should go to college football overtime. I'm a big fan of that.
Yes.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also think NFL should do stop clocking after first downs to let teams be able to come back
It'd be a tough transition for you as a coach, man. Two-minute situations get much different.
Yes. Yep.
And that clock doesn't stop on first downs.
I'm terrible with the clock. Terrible with the clock. I still am going to criticize like Dan Quinn and Andy Reid when they screw up, but at least in the back of my head, I'm like, I probably couldn't do better, but I'll still say I can do better.
You need to hire an assistant, bro. Just to do the game management stuff for you.
Yeah. I have a bunch of assistants. They're just imbeciles. Not smart.
Yeah, you should get
pretty much Billy. Billy's not smart.
Just get Flava Flav to stand next to you. Just a big ass clock around his neck.
Yes,
that clock would be nice.
Yes, yes. Well, Matt, this has been awesome, man. We appreciate you coming on, and best of luck next year. I won't bet my pinky on you guys. Actually, no.
12 wins.
If you start 0-2, then I might bet my pinky on you guys. So we'll see.
All right, give it 2 weeks and then see what happens.
Yes, perfect. All right, thanks, man.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
That interview with Matt Ryan was brought to you by Shady Rays. We've been talking about our friends at Shady Rays all year long, not just because they're the official sunglasses of the show, but because we've been creating something epic behind the scenes. Very excited for this announcement. We alluded to it a couple weeks ago. Our first ever sunglasses collaboration with Shady Rays is now available. The Pardon My Take limited edition set.
This might be like real yes. Tone horn worthy.
Yes.
By the way, our
first ever sunglasses collab.
Our friend Rico Bosco had a great idea that we need to talk to Shady Rays guys. We need to get a mascot, like a guy named Ray who sells the sunglasses out of a trench coat.
Or Ray Baker.
Shady yes. Ray.
It's Ray.
No,
Ray
I know,
Baker.
But Shady Ray.
Shady like, Ray Baker.
Shady Ray, Ray
here
Baker.
Comes Shady yeah. Ray. Yeah. He's got the dopest sunglasses in the world.
It's the Ray Bakers.
It's yeah. Ray Bakers, yeah. So this is our exclusive limited edition set. And when I say limited edition, I mean it.
Do you have the box? The box is unreal.
Pardon My Take limited edition set. Where's the box? What's in the box? It's a great pair of sunglasses. What it is. Here's the box. It comes in this sweet Pardon My Take box. It says Shady Rays on the side, Grit on the other side. Then you open it up. Boom. Pardon My Take right there. Sturdy carrying case, humans versus the sun on the inside, and then the sunglasses themselves are the best sunglasses I've ever worn. I'm wearing them right now. They're super comfortable. They look awesome. We worked hand in hand with the team over there. It's actually true. We did help them design these sunglasses. This is not just something they sent to us. This is something that me, Big Cat, and Hank worked on. Go to shadyrays.com/PMT. Check them out. Grab your pair. They're my favorite frame, the Ventura. So it's their first ever matte black acetate frame. Ultra premium, badass look, polarized royal blue mirror lenses with an etched Grit logo right in the lens. Then we've got our signature PMT logos on the inside of the frame. Stella's there, Big Cat's mustache is there, my sunglasses are there, and Hank, your hat is there. Boom. Everything from the logo, Pardon My Take, it's on the inside of the frame, so it's not on the outside. It's premium, the packaging is premium. And they're covered by Shady Rays Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. If anyone has a problem with these shades, Shady Rays will take care of you. That goes for any pair that they make, but especially for these because these are sick. Listeners of today's show are at the front of the line. They're not going to last long. I'm telling you, they're sick. Grab them now. Rock them this season. Wear them beyond. Our PMT discount code or other discounts are not applicable to this style, but these are worth every penny. Head to shadyrays.com/PMT. Grab your pair. Grab your pair right now at shadyrays.com/PMT. I love these sunglasses. I love them.
Yes, they're fantastic. I've been wearing them ever since we got them. Awesome sunglasses. All right, let's do some segments. We got Guys on Chicks. We're going to get Matt at a list. But before we do that, you have a Just Chill Out Man PFT.
Yeah, so this comes to us via the Redskins Brawl podcast. Redskins linebacker Ryan Anderson told his teammate Garrett Hudson one time in the cold tub, if I can remember my grandkids' names, then I didn't play the game right.
Whoa.
Just chill out, man.
Just chill out.
Just chill out, man.
Big time just chill out.
Listen to J.J. Watt. Listen to Styles of Beyond. 100% reason to remember the name.
Was it in the cold tub or the hot tub, you said?
That's a good question. I'm going to assume cold tub.
Well, if it's in the cold tub, I actually think that's appropriate conversation because you actually want something to, like, a serious, crazy conversation, get your mind off it.
Anything
that's hot tub, you're chilling.
Also, when you hit the cold tub for the first time, you're not liable of what you say.
But like, getting in the cold tub, if someone brings up that type of conversation, you're like, whoa, dude, guess what you're not doing? Thinking about the cold tub.
That's true. Just say the most outrageous stuff that you can to get your mind off the fact that you're freezing.
Right.
Cold tubs suck.
Just chill out, man. All right, let's get Matt at a list. We saw this list on Twitter. the other day, and it caught our eyes because it has our favorite sport, handball, ranked there. But it's sports ranked
other cool
by
thrown
difficulty.
Handball 2021. Speaking of gaming, no, I'm not going to be giving up gaming because handball 21 is a real game that's coming out next
year. Well, that's just practicing. Yeah. That's taking mental reps for when we eventually dominate the world.
Okay.
In the world's game.
So
handball 17, 5 years later, they came out with a new one.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. Sports ranked by difficulty is the name of the list. And let's get mad about it. Do you guys want to start?
We should start by crediting the source of this list. It's from Unbiased America Sports.
Yes,
so
UAS.
Your number one go-to destination for trustworthy sports rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Just behind the Piss Institute.
Okay, so why don't we just start at the top? I actually totally agree with number one, boxing.
So my only problem with boxing on this list, it actually goes along for a lot of the sports that are on here. Boxing is actually very easy to suck at.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the hardest, but the difficulty is like to play it at the highest level. If not to suck at it.
Is that what we're talking about? So we're talking about like at the professional level
get
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the difficulty.
Pay-per-view fights. The hardest fights to win.
Boxing will be tough.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because you could suck at all these sports pretty easily.
True, but some sports are more difficult to suck at.
I think if you truly suck, you could suck at anything very quickly. But boxing at the highest level, I think, is the hardest difficulty in terms of everything that's involved: hand-eye coordination, fast twitch muscles, stamina,
like pain tolerance.
Just try to throw punches for 3 minutes against air, and then stop for a minute, and then do it again for 3 minutes. Not 1 minute rounds like you, Hank. You didn't actually box.
I did box. Okay, you're actually the commentator, rough and ready.
Undefeated.
True. That's actually great. Great point.
Champ,
you got me there.
Coming through.
But you did get knocked down.
Yeah, that's boxing. That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. And you got back up.
Exactly.
Stronger than ever. All right, so then it goes ice hockey, football, basketball, wrestling. I assume that's pro wrestling, WWE.
I would assume definitely pro wrestling.
No, it's wrestling.
No, it's
wrestling.
It's what wrestling. You get lit on fire. You get thrown off a steel cage.
Yeah, martial arts, I don't know.
I just wish
Steve
they had...
Seagal's sick
of water.
I wish that they had put basketball ahead of ice hockey just so that we could see the please like my sport crowd.
Yes. Now, here's where I get to have a problem. Tennis at 7? Tennis?
Disagree.
Tennis
Unless you're
seven?
Playing in a tournament against Novak Djokovic and he's giving you all kinds of communicable diseases.
Especially with baseball at 9? Like, hitting a round ball going 100 miles an hour feels like it's harder than hitting a tennis ball with a racket.
So,
tennis balls can go 100 miles an hour.
True.
They can
go a lot bigger surface area.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, always hear, at least I've always been told from really just Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball. I have no idea if that's true or not, but I've heard it enough that I believe it.
Yeah. All right. Now we have skiing or baseball, softball, soccer, skiing, water polo.
Water polo
should be higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Rugby's actually in a good spot. I'm not even going to make any rugby jokes.
It's in a perfect spot, exactly one spot ahead of lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey, Billy, chime in whenever you want.
No, I mean, lacrosse is really hard.
Into the mic, though.
Most good lacrosse players have been playing since they've been, like, in
first
grade.
That's for every sport here.
Yeah, but you can pick up some of these sports. Like
one? Which one could you pick up and get to the pros?
Handball.
Well, we're not here yet. Right. Yeah, we're not here yet.
Martial arts.
No.
A lot of guys pick up martial arts after...
Dude, think about Steven Seagal.
Think about wrestlers and
That's
boxers
the peak.
Who have...
Do you know how many years Steven Seagal trained? Like,
you think you could
30.
Beat up Butterbean?
I think I could beat up Butterbean.
No, Mike. Butterbean would
Butterbean
fucking
would,
put you in the
he
other
He couldn't
dimension.
Reach me.
He's probably
put
dead. I don't even know if he's still
neck.
Alive. He would still fuck
I'd,
you
I would
up.
Do that, like, double kick jump in his stomach.
No, dude. He would fuck you up. Okay. This rodeo?
That's where the list loses me a little bit, because it's rodeo, steer wrestling. I feel like steer wrestling should be hit a little bit higher. Steer wrestling should be top five.
Yeah. Speed skating, figure skating, cycling for distance. Mm-hmm. Cycling for distance has to be... I feel like those are the ones that, like, cycling for distance and running for distance. Actually, cycling for distance
easier
should be
than,
way lower.
Easier than running for distance.
Yes, way lower.
That's the reason why people cycle is because they don't like to run.
Run, right. Like that should be, where's swimming? Swimming for distance is harder than cycling for distance.
Mm-hmm.
Volleyball, racquetball,
in a controlled pool.
Squash.
At least cycling for distance, you're in the elements. Swimming for distance, you're in a controlled environment.
Hey, do
you swim?
No. Yeah. Ironman, like, they swim through the elements.
Swimming is really, really hard.
Yeah.
Cycling is hard, but not...
There's no... It's one, it's the same, it's an even... All you need is stamina to swim for distance. That's
no,
all you need.
No, you need strength.
No, dude. You need a lot of things.
You need a swimsuit.
Will.
Cycling for distance is harder than swimming for distance.
You need swim cap, goggles.
Incorrect.
Facts.
Hey, incorrect. Sharks, you need to avoid sharks.
If it's in the ocean, pirates? I'll give it to you. If it's in the ocean, pirates? I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Think about it this way, Hank. When they do the triathlon, the swimming portion is by far the shortest. It's like a mile swim, and then you do like a marathon in the Ironman, and then you bike, I don't know,
well,
like
yeah,
50
miles.
Well,
yeah, because you don't have two wheels in the ocean. But
all right,
still.
Someone who's listening who's a big cyclist and a big swimmer, have it out.
Oh, triathlete.
Debate in the mentions.
All right, then why, if Lance Armstrong, why didn't he continue to do swimming?
What? He did. He did continue to be a triathlete.
It was too hard to swim.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, wait. Oh. Yeah. That's not true, though. That's not true, though. No,
checkmate.
No.
Checkmate. Yep. That was so easy. Got it. Dude, Billy just got you. That's Billy, bad. Dude. Billy got you. Hank, that's
hard.
That's worse than getting swept by PFT and ping pong, which also happened.
Yeah, that did happen.
All right.
Surfing?
Surfing? Yeah.
I've never gotten up on a surf.
The best surfers. Sharks, true.
Magnetic, the documentary
review. Oh, yes, good plug. We're watching Magnetic for Friday.
It's on Netflix.
Magnetic.
But that goes into it goes into that they do like 100-foot surfing in this.
The real like best surfers in the world. That's a fucking really that's a really hard thing.
That's one of those.
It's harder than racquetball and squash.
That's one of those videos where you see the best in the world surfing the biggest waves, and you actually like your hands start to sweat.
Yes,
and it's actually painful to watch.
Yes,
that.
Fencing. What? Fencing? No, thank you.
Mm. Uh-huh. If it's actual sword fighting, then yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man.
But everyone used to sword fight.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. So everyone used to be sick at fencing.
Yeah.
Also, what the thing is on the bottom of this tweet, it says there's a watermark up with a flag. I feel like that has to do with something with these lists.
I thought this was from Sports Illustrated. Like
no,
years
it's
ago.
Not by America Sports, dude.
It's their logo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not
it's
like
their ubiquitous
like
logo
a
that you've seen everywhere.
No. Spanish flag or something.
All right, here we go. We got team handball at 26. Mm-hmm. So it's in the top half. Which I definitely disagree with. All right, let's finish off the list by finding sports that are harder than team handballing that are ranked below team handballing.
Okay.
Badminton.
Bobsledding.
Yes.
Ski jumping.
Track and field high jump. Track and field long jump.
Rowing. Calf roping.
Rowing is very hard.
Uh-huh. Fishing.
Weightlifting. Way harder.
Yep.
Swimming all strokes is 45. That's crazy. Sprints. Swimming. Table tennis. Way harder than team handball.
Roller skating. Just the barrier of entry to like find a pair of roller skates.
Same with equestrian.
Harder.
You got to find a horse.
Got to get a horse that won't kick you off it.
Mm-hmm.
Honest, you have to be born to a rich dad.
I'm going to say this. Like steer wrestling. Like the only people who know how hard steer wrestling is people who are around steers. Like, maybe if there's a steer right here, I could wrestle it real quick.
You think
like,
it's easy?
It could be easy.
That's not
the
a bad
barrier
point.
Entry, you know?
Like, how do you know?
Bobsledding could be
easy
as hell.
Yeah, you don't know if you're the best. Like, I've never shot archery.
Like,
could I be the best?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, if I'm really good at podcasting in this room, better than Hank.
You can't even talk into the mic. Yeah.
By the way,
I'm the best. Only we know.
Let's finish it off. Curling, bowling, shooting, billiards, and fishing end the list. I'll say it.
Billiards is hard.
Team handball is harder than fishing.
I disagree.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I don't even believe that.
I disagree.
Yeah.
What if you're using your bare hands? That's almost impossible to do.
If you're saying, and even bowling, if you're saying what's harder to do, roll a 300 or make the U.S. Olympic team handball team, absolutely make the U.S. team Olympic handball team is easier than rolling a 300.
Absolutely. I would also say that rolling a 200, if you've had two light beers and you're around a bunch of people smoking cigarettes in a bowling alley,
mm-hmm.
is harder than rolling a 300 sober.
What do you guys think about my long-standing theory that I could beat everyone in the world at least at one sport?
I think that goes for everyone.
Yeah,
I think most people.
Yeah, yeah, but looking at this list makes me even more confident.
I think
like if I went up against LeBron in all of these sports right now, one of these I would beat him in.
They only list 60 sports, and there are at least 50 other sports in the world.
Dude, I'd beat him in auto racing. He doesn't drive.
He's drunk all the time. He has a driver that takes him around.
Exactly. Well, who knows if I could... Maybe I beat him in calf rope. Maybe I get lucky one time.
I could beat LeBron James in...
Fishing?
I'm going to say fishing, horse racing...
Cheerleading?
Table tennis.
Cheerleading's
on
here.
No, he's a great cheerleader.
Yeah.
No,
he's not. He never supports his teammates.
He does when he's like at an all-star game.
No, it doesn't say cheerleading when up a lot.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
It just says cheerleading.
I'm going to take back water skiing because he's fucking awesome on the banana boat.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, good list. I got mad about it. And team handball, come on. What are you going to say?
Well, I think handball is like hard if you never picked up a ball before, but if you have other ball skills. Exactly. Right. So it's
right.
like.
Right. That's our point.
But it's easiest. I think fishing's really hard.
Yeah, it is.
I've like never caught a fish.
Ever?
Yeah, and I've like fished multiple times.
All right.
You have to use
Jake,
bait.
Jake, go get a string. We'll go to fucking Larry's tank.
Okay.
And we'll catch you a fish.
That's awesome.
And then we'll put it back.
Okay.
But you have to take your Twitter profile as a picture of you holding your fish.
Yeah, put it really close to the camera because that with looks Larry? Huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's finish up our show. Eric Andre coming on Friday. By the way,
get
Eric
excited
Andre
about
coming
it.
On Friday and Magnetic documentary review. Hank, Guys on Chicks, let's finish this up.
If a girl makes poops jokes, is she cool or is she being weird because girls don't poop?
Yeah, she's a liar.
Poopy she's stinks.
Liar. Poop jokes always play. A general rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Just not at the dinner table and not during sex.
Unless you're German, then both.
Hey, Mr. 35, cat, dog, and honk. My boyfriend has started going back to the gym, quote-unquote, every day, but comes home smelling like alcohol and weed. Do you think this is just a beers after trend, or yeah. is he just going out with his friends every night now that quarantine is basically over? How should I confront him?
The gym would be a great name for a bar.
Maybe they meet him? At the gym parking lot. I used to do that. Like, sometimes me and my friends would be like, oh, let's go to the gym, and then we get to the gym and be like, we're here, but let's just go somewhere else.
I got an easy solution.
So they start at the gym. Like, they're going to the gym to meet their friends to go somewhere else.
Buy your boyfriend a Whoop. Promo code TAKE, 15% off.
I like
and
that.
Just see what happens. See what happens. Hey, honey, how's your strain today?
But speaking of bars reopening, I just had a great idea because I've always wanted to buy a round. Like, this one's on me for the house. I haven't done it. Now would be a great time to
for
do it.
For the whole
it.
Bar?
Yeah, for the
for
entire
bar. For a small bar, yeah.
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 I'm gonna do it. I'm going to go to, like, an outdoor bar with limited seating and be like, this one's on me, guys.
Yeah. If you go back to, like, a college town, it's... very easy to do, because you realize like beers. Like if you go to a college town and you're like, wait, beers are $2.
It's a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This round on me.
Who is the best yodeler of the three?
Yodeler, yodeler, yodeler.
Yeah, big cat.
Big cat.
Big cat.
I was just giving it a shot. Give it a shot.
Just like you learned from what's his name, Mason Ramsey.
Go give it a shot.
Yodeler, yodeler, yodeler.
Yeah, right. I got you. Yep. Well, go ahead, Hank. Give it a shot. No, give it a shot. Billy?
I wasn't mentioned.
Go ahead, try.
Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. That was
Billy
not
might
bad,
have
Billy.
Me beat. Okay. We'll have a further competition yodelay, at a later date. Yodelay.
Sup, yeah. Boys, especially Chonk Cat and Poppy Liam. My boyfriend of 5 years.
What?
Poppy Liam. P-A-P-I. My boyfriend of 5 years has decided to take up cooking. He has been cooking a bunch of meals for us, which is really nice, but the meals absolutely suck. It seems like they get worse and worse as time goes on. I was nice at first, saying they're good, but I'm at the point where I have to choke it down. How do I tell my boyfriend that his cooking is terrible without hurting his feelings?
Can I ask a question before we get to this one? How is someone bad at cooking?
You're not cooking the right stuff.
But overcooking, like you overcook
yeah,
the meat,
how, like,
undercook
you,
the meat.
How do you not follow directions?
You don't season any. I mean, have you seen Billy cook steaks?
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, I
raw
guess
meat
just,
on
I'm not
an open
saying
plan.
I'm a bad cook, but I'm saying if I, like, whenever I do cook, I follow directions, and it comes out at least average.
I think Billy is a perfect example. He goes to the store, he buys a pound of steak, and then he takes that steak and puts it on the grill, and then it's like,
it.
I cooked.
Yeah. I think what you okay. got to do is that is you got to set them up for success here. You have to say, can we do taco night? And then if you do taco night, it's just all he has to do is just cook ground beef. And then you really put it together yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being his prep cook.
But
I feel like that's what I mean. I struggle with that, too. My girlfriend roasts me. She's like, you don't season anything. Like, you don't really like it's like, yeah, I do the simple as possible. So it's probably he's probably not doing any prepping.
He jumped. You know what happened to him? He watched too much Food Network, and he went from 0 to 60 instead of, like, starting by making Blue Box mac and cheese, learn the basics, and then down the line you can start graduating to things like actual food.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, boys, especially Big Cat. Last night I hooked up with a guy, and when he pulled out the condom, it was gone. Did he not put on a condom, or is it still inside me?
It's inside you.
Yeah. You got to fish that thing out. Get just Billy.
Piss it out.
Billy will go
just
fishing.
Piss as hard as you possibly can. Yeah, Billy will come. For anyone who is looking for a condom to be fished out, Billy is at your service.
Mm-hmm.
Officially, God. You're signed up for that.
All right, last one. Can you learn to be handy, or is that something you're born with? Or is it like some people who are more musically inclined or are better athletes?
I think the most you can hope for, if we're talking about repairing stuff, appliances and shit, is find someone, if they're not handy, that can at least watch a YouTube video, learn that skill for 30 minutes, and then forget it again.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at in life.
I can't cook when I'm handy.
Define handy.
Well, the question is, can you learn to be handy, or is it something you're born with?
I think it's like grittiness.
I think it's something you kind of
can you learn to be handy, Billy, or is it something you're born with?
I mean, like, I'm building a chicken coop right now.
Can you learn to be handy, or is it something you're born with?
I think it's more of a desire.
I think it's directly correlated to how many uncles you grow up around. You got a shitload of uncles, then you're going to at least know how to change a tire.
Breaking news. Breaking moves. Breaking moves. From our good friend Stephen Shea. He just texted, said, I hope you didn't finish taping PMT. Big Ben just admitted to previously being addicted to porn.
Thanks, Stephen.
Breaking moves from Stephen Shea.
Good job, Stephen.
For a second, there, text you for about, second like, there, I was like really nervous that we missed something huge story. Nope, just a story from like 7 hours
what
ago.
What does it mean to be addicted to porn?
I think it's the there was a true life.
Find out.
Dude, there was a true life about it.
About
there was in the
I
guy
can't
literally,
stop watching.
Yeah, no, he literally just sat at home for 20 hours just fucking jerking off furiously.
I think the problem, if you watch porn and don't masturbate, then that's an issue. If you watch porn because it's just for you.
No, dude, this guy was like, he wouldn't leave his house for days on end because he just was just watching porn.
I think
his life just became a porn.
Probably 90% of America has been technically addicted to porn for the last 3 months.
Yeah, we should have our good friend Glennie Balls on.
Love you guys.
Okay, that's our show.
Do you think Phillip Rivers
is addicted to porn? No.
No, like he's addicted to waste the real stuff.
Yeah, I don't think Glennie's addicted to porn. He just happens to have like 6 virtual reality goggles.
Well, and,
and he's also best friends with porn stars.
He's great.
Right, that just
with
happens.
Porn stars.
Right,
yeah.
He just becomes best friends.
They just find him.
If there's someone in the office, YP might be addicted.
All right.
Love you guys.
We'll see you on Friday.
Love you guys.